Hello, everybody, and welcome to Librarian Interviews with Damon. Today, I have Eric here from our Adult Services Department, and we're going to be getting to know him a little bit better. So, Eric, why don't you introduce yourself, and what do you do here at Cromaine?
I'm Eric. I'm an Adult Services Librarian, and I'm just over here for about a year now.
Awesome. So you say adult services, I'm also adult services, but do you have certain areas in the adult department that you work on specifically?
Yeah, so I'm in charge of the collections for large print, DVDs, music, and newly added graphic novels.
Ooh. How do you go about making choices of what to buy for, like, the DVDs, for instance?
DVDs, well, this past year was interesting, and it's interesting because I wasn't in charge of DVDs at my last job, so it's kind of new. And with COVID, everything was weird. So basically, since there are no box office numbers, which I think is a tool that is pretty good to use to know, like, how many copies of something to buy or if something's going to be worth adding to the collection, It was really hard because I had to kind of look and see, like, is there anybody involved with this movie that I've ever even heard of? Because a lot of stuff got pushed back and didn't come out. So, like, yeah, it's an interesting process of figuring out, like, okay, Liam Neeson's in this movie. I've never heard of it, but I wouldn't because COVID ruined everything. So, yeah, it's really just looking at people who have track records of producing things, especially this last year, that are worth having. And kind of getting a sense of what the community likes. There are things in our DVD collection, not to badmouth anything, but I would personally not watch, like, When the Heart or Where the Heart Is, whatever that is. It's immensely popular here.
When Calls the Heart?
When Calls the Heart, yep. Yeah. Is not something that would be on my personal radar, but I know it's very big here, so I'll obviously order things that check out a lot. But
yeah. My last library was a very different community than this, and it still was incredibly popular there.
Yeah, the Hallmark movies, very big here. Not something that, unless I'm at my mom's house who has them on repeat, not something I would personally watch. But, you know, it's just getting a feel for what the community likes and also what's going to be popular.
Hallmark started releasing some novelizations of some of their movies on audiobook. And so I've been ordering some of those, and those have been circulating pretty well. You mentioned not ordering DVDs at your last job. What did you do before coming here?
So for 9 years, I was a librarian at a private school.
Okay.
My job was kind of a COVID casualty. When enrollment dropped, they just couldn't afford to keep two librarians on. So that's what I did for years. And I did do collection development there, but it was mostly like teen fiction, nonfiction, stuff like that. We had DVDs, but they were all educational, and we weren't really, our collection didn't support kind of recreational and entertainment-only DVDs.
So. Sure. There were originally two librarians at your school?
There were originally three.
Wow!
Yeah, there was a media specialist and then two librarians.
Wow. You don't hear that a lot at schools. Oftentimes there's one or even no librarians.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because I think what we're seeing today is kind of the byproduct of lessening the importance of a librarian in terms of just people not knowing how to fact check or, you know, vet sources and things like that. But I won't get on that soapbox today.
Fair enough. Prior to working as a school librarian, what did you do?
So I majored in TV and film production in college and kind of tried to do that for a year or two after and just never really went anywhere with it. Just wasn't able to get my foot in the door. And then I worked in a factory for kind of like a shop area factory where we made tools that made cardboard boxes. So we made rotary cutting dies.
Okay.
And I essentially glued pieces of rubber to pieces of plywood for 90% of the day.
Wow. Sounds exhausting.
Yeah. It was an interesting time.
Yeah. Did you get to listen to music while you worked and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty much all we did was listen to, you know, you'd have your, at the time, CD players were still a thing. Or MP3 players and just took them up to a speaker and you'd listen to music all day and... Yeah.
I feel like it'd be a lot easier nowadays with, like, audiobooks on the go and, like, everything all just in your pocket on your phone. It's so easy.
It was weird. I don't know about that because it was a loud environment with, like, lots of machinery running all the time. And I don't know that we weren't allowed to use headphones, but nobody did. And I'm not sure how safe it would be. So
yeah,
you kind of had to have, like, something that could be background and you didn't necessarily have to pay that much attention to.
Sure.
But, yeah. I mean, I definitely would have tried, though.
Yeah. So what made you decide to become a librarian?
So I had a friend who was in library school during the time where I was working at the factory. Kind of a friend of a friend. And it's so cringy for me to think about this moment now, but we were at our mutual friend's wedding and she was talking about being in library school. And I said the thing that I think a lot of people have probably said to all of us, like, how many classes do you need on the Dewey Decimal System? Not having any clue what being a librarian really was.
Yeah.
And then she explained to me, like, how it's a lot about the science of information and all that stuff that actually sounded really interesting to me.
Totally.
And I was almost 30. I was like 27 or 28 at the time. So having no clue about any of that. And then when I lost my job in 2008, with the economic downturn, I was looking at going to grad school and I was picking between, I was certified to teach history up to middle school in New Jersey. And I was kind of trying to do that, but not having the best time as a substitute teacher. And I didn't want to spend a lot of time pursuing a master's degree when I wasn't sure that I was going to love teaching. So it was really between getting a master's degree in teaching or library related things. And I decided that I would rather work in libraries.
That's awesome. Did you intend when you went to library school to first become a school librarian?
No, not at all. Actually, I took a complete like 90 degree left turn and decided to, I was really into digital preservation kind of ideas.
Okay.
My dream job at that point was like working in a college library or the Smithsonian or something and getting into these like archival digital preservation initiatives and like taking all of these old cool documents. I have a thing for old maps and like just old documents in general and just like getting them on the computer so people can access them from home instead of like not everybody can go to the Smithsonian or any kind of these big museums that have these like really important cultural touchstones and historical documents. And I just like thought making those accessible to like your average person who has the internet would be just an amazing thing to do.
So yeah, I think a lot of people that are listening may not realize that, you know, if you go get an MLS or an MLS or similar degree, you have so many different directions you can go with that. I mean, obviously think of the obvious ones of school librarians and public librarians and academic librarians, but then there's all that whole subset of archival work and like medical librarians, law librarians, everything is out there and you need that degree. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, my track was like, I think we talked about this the other day, but my track was about 90% kind of web development programming classes. And I barely remember any of it now since I haven't used it in about 10 or 11 years since I've graduated. But yeah, most of my classes were things that you would associate more with like computer science or things like that.
Totally. Yeah, some schools even do it as an MIS, a Master's of Information and Science, for their library program. So through all those twists and turns, you somehow ended up here at a public library.
Yeah.
How did that work out?
So when I lost my job because of COVID, basically, I was just kind of applying to a bunch of things that sounded interesting and fun and not really kind of trying to pigeonhole myself into any one thing. I did apply to some college libraries, but I thought it was appealing to like just work with a whole new demographic after dealing with teenage boys for 9 years. I was kind of like, maybe I should broaden my horizons. And yeah, I was definitely open to working with the public and arranging programming and things like that. So yeah, that was kind of how it worked out. I had an interview here and I really enjoyed talking to Megan and Glenn. So it was like really attractive to join this team. And I really liked how Chromain stayed active through the pandemic. Like, I know I won't name my own home public library, but they pretty much disappeared when they closed down and I never heard anything from them. And when I saw the job posting and looked at, like, I've never heard of Chromain. I don't really live close to Heartland, so I don't know much about it. And I looked and I was like really impressed by how much stuff was happening here with the YouTube videos and podcasts and things like that, that it was like kind of more of a community that I'd like to be a part of.
Yeah, we did a lot of digital stuff early on in the pandemic, and it was a whole shift for all of us here to kind of get used to that, working from home, producing materials that we can send out to everybody. But it was really well worth it, and it felt very rewarding during that time.
Yeah, and it's so important to be involved in the community, especially for a library, which a lot of times is underappreciated by a lot of members of the community, is, you know, kind of like, what do we need that for? We have the internet. Just to provide that value is such an important thing to demonstrate, like, hey, we're here and we do things that everyone can enjoy.
That's really cool that you were able to see that before starting here. I didn't know that. That's,
yeah.
That's neat. What is, what would you say the best part about being a public librarian is?
I think the best part is coming up with cool program ideas to, like, engage the public and getting all the positive feedback when you, like, hit a home run and having people come up and just tell you, like, hey, that was really cool and I really enjoyed that. And just knowing, like, that you made a difference in somebody's day mm-hmm. is, like, just so rewarding to me.
Do you have a favorite program that you've run?
I think my favorite one, well, so I really enjoy making the Magical Malevolent Michigan videos.
I was
going to
say, that's my favorite of your programs.
But the one, the program that, like, I had someone else present for was Bats of Michigan. I thought she was just a great presenter, and I love bats because they're, like, little creepy cool things that people are afraid of and shouldn't be. And I think a lot of the patrons who came to it, like, just there was a lot of outflowing of very positive reviews from them as well.
Such a random program. I love it. And
yeah,
bats are adorable dogs with wings. So
yeah, yeah. Like, people are like, oh, they're flying rats. And I'm like, they're not really. They're cool.
They are. They're cool. And they're cute when you actually look at
them.
They're
so cute with their tiny little teeth.
So that's the best part. What's the hardest part about being a librarian?
I think the hardest part, I put a lot of pressure on myself, and I don't think I'm the best at reader's advisory.
And can you explain what that is for the
listeners? Reader's advisory is like when you come up to the reference desk, and please do not hesitate. If you see me on reference desk and you listen to this, please do not hesitate to ask me for a recommendation. Just know that I am, like, putting a lot of pressure on myself to find you the perfect book. So that's what reader advisory is. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like Tom Clancy. What else do you have? Or I want a book. What's good? Is, like, a reader's advisory question. And I wouldn't even say that's, like, the worst. It's just the hardest for me because I put so much pressure, and I'm learning that I read a very restrictive, like, portion of literature, so I don't have a lot of those, like, references, and it's really hard.
Yeah, part about being sometimes a librarian is putting on many hats and knowing at least how to find books and genres that you're not familiar yeah. with yourself.
Yeah, and I'm getting better, but it's just, like, that mental thing of, like, I'm a pleaser. You know, I like to make people happy, and I feel like I struggle with, like, oh God, I really hope they like that book. And then a lot of times you never even hear whether it was good or not from the patrons. So that's, like, very difficult
yeah.
for me.
Yeah. So if you're listening, if you ask a librarian for a book recommendation, come back and tell them afterwards what you thought, even if you hated it. I mean, if you hated it, that also helps us know your reading preferences better.
Yeah.
And that can sometimes lead us to better suggestions.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of books, what is the best thing that you read recently?
I think the best thing I read recently was I recently discovered Grady Hendrix. Last year, I actually listened to an audiobook by him that I didn't realize was from him, Horror Store, which I didn't think was great.
That was the IKEA one, right?
Yeah, it's basically a horror set in, like, a never-named but definitely IKEA clone.
Okay.
But I read Southern Book Club's Guide to Vampire Slaying, which is really good. And then my favorite one from him was My Best Friend's Exorcism.
Okay.
Which is, like, I don't know why, but I've been in, like, an 80s nostalgia kind of horror phase for the past couple months. And this is all of those things. Like, every book chapter title was, like, the either the chorus or the title of, like, an 80s song, and it takes place in the late 80s about this group of teenage girls, and one of them becomes possessed, and just, like, yeah, the one friend, especially, like, the main character trying to deal with it, and, like, basically people gaslighting her and not believing her, and trying to save her friend from being exorcised. Like, it really buys into the satanic panic angle from the 80s, which is, like, one of my favorite little subgenre things to read about, like how crazy it was that everything was basically forced by Satan, apparently, in the 80s.
I don't know. Yes, Dungeons and Dragons,
which is another one of my favorite things, and like all of this stuff was like, oh, that's the devil, and you're just like, I don't think Cyndi Lauper's the devil, but okay.
Except in this book, she actually was possessed. Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So other than Grady Hendrix, do you have any favorite authors?
Yeah, I don't think you can be a librarian and not have favorite authors.
Fair.
So, like, Stephen King, especially his old stuff, was basically, I always tell people, and I realize that I'm a liar recently, that Stephen King was the one who got me into reading, because when I was a kid, I was, like, a jock and thought I was going to play pro baseball and hated reading. And then I realized that another podcast for Chromaine that I'm going to be doing, we're reading a Christopher Pike book, and I realized that I've been lying to people for years because Christopher Pike and all those like horror late 80s, early 90s books were what really got me into reading. So I can't speak for Pike, but I still love Stephen King. I'm a big fan of a lot of like fantasy authors like Jim Butcher, Robert Jordan, Brandon Sanderson, just kind of things like that. Usually like horror, I gravitate towards horror and sci-fi fantasy. So,
okay. You actually answered my next question, which is what is your favorite genre? So,
horror, sci-fi, fantasy.
Yeah, there we go. Nice and easy. All right. So let's move away from libraries for a second. And I want to know, do you have any secret talents?
I don't know if it's a talent so much as I can kind of flip my feet backwards.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird thing I discovered one day while I was in church, probably like, probably bored during like a song or like the sermon or something, and I can just like kind of leverage my ankles against each other and flip my feet almost 180 degrees backwards.
Well, that's amazing. I love that. I think that's my favorite response I've gotten so far.
It's a good party trick.
It is fantastic. Let's talk hobbies. What do you do outside the library?
Too many. Basically, if it involves making things, I probably do it like woodworking. I'm kind of into resin right now, making like bookmarks and different like jewelry, baubles kind of things. I play guitar, video games, tabletop role-playing games, creative things.
All amazing things. Eric here created desk signs for all of us in the adult services department out of wood that you'd burning in there to get
wood,
the letters.
Yeah, wood burning. I do some wood burning.
Ah, they are so cool. So mine has my name on it and adult services, and it's very cool. Favorite TV shows?
I think my favorite TV show of all time is probably Lost.
Okay.
I'm also right now watching a couple things. Friday Night Lights is a really good TV show, even if you don't like sports. Mm-hmm. It's more of like a teen drama kind of thing with high school football in Texas as like a backdrop, which is crazy because I've heard from people in Texas that it's like that crazy kind of atmosphere with like thousands of people going to football games and like radio broadcasts dedicated to high school football, which is scary. But the show is amazing. I'm really enjoying Cobra Kai. It is corny and cheesy, and I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be that way on purpose. It's like a love letter to the Karate Kid movies.
Yeah, I saw the ads for that on Netflix.
Yeah, and it totally, like, if you like things that are intentionally corny and cheesy, this is definitely for you.
Okay, so it's not actually related to the Karate Kid?
It is.
Oh, okay.
It is the, I would assume, like, 30 years in the future, just like the show came out.
Sure.
And Johnny Lawrence is kind of a loser, like struggling to get by, and Ralph Macchio is owns a car dealership, and he's very successful, and he's like markets his car dealership based on karate, and you know, Johnny Lawrence opens up the Cobra Kai dojo to bring it back, so it's like their whole rivalry again. But it's more interesting than the movies because I think like neither character is the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of plays with that, like, Johnny Lawrence is not a bad person. He's just different from Daniel LaRusso. And
sure.
Daniel LaRusso is not a good person. He's just, like, you know, philosophically kind of intersecting with each other, perpendicular.
Yeah, I like when shows go into that, like, gray area where everything is not just, you know, clear black and white. And I feel like more shows do that nowadays than used to.
Yeah.
And it's really neat to see.
Yeah. Oh, I also have to pump up What We Do in the Shadows, which is coming back, I think, this week. It is a mockumentary about vampires in Staten Island. Yeah, it's great. It's so great. And it's based on the movie from like 2014 or 2015. It's by Taika Waititi. I don't know how involved he is in the show, and Jemaine Clement, who was from Flight of the Conchords.
That sounds incredible.
It's so good. And it's coming, I think, this week or next week. And we have the first two seasons in the library. I don't believe we own the movie, though.
Well, we're going to dive into a lightning round where I ask you some questions back to back. Don't think too hard. And so whatever comes to your mind, here we go. So, cake or pie?
Pie.
Okay, what kind of pie?
Ooh, strawberry rhubarb is my favorite, but I would go cherry.
Ooh,
two.
Both great choices.
Anything.
Best Marvel hero.
Whew. This is tough. It's, I think Spider-Man.
Okay. And how about for villain?
Thanos.
Nice.
Low-hanging fruit, but. Oh, well, can I make a distinction? I think original Thanos, not Endgame Thanos. Carlos, because they were different.
Okay.
I think the 5 years made him more interesting, or at least more delusional.
Fair enough. All right. Best non-Marvel superhero, because I know you do actually know more than...
Yeah. I don't know if I would consider him a superhero, but Rorschach from The Watchmen...
Okay.
Was like a really interesting character, more of an anti-hero kind of thing.
Totally fun. What did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a kid?
Ooh, archaeologist, fighter pilot.
Love it. Fantastic. Best mealtime.
You mean like breakfast, lunch, dinner?
Yeah.
I think lunch is the best of both worlds.
Okay.
I like sandwiches and burgers a lot, but I also like, you know, I feel like you can just order anything at lunch and nobody would look at you crazy.
Sure. You're absolutely right. All right. Best Gatorade color.
Blue.
Which, the light blue or the dark blue?
I didn't know there was a dark blue. I'm talking about goodness. Like...
Oh my goodness, Beckett does the same thing.
The frost?
Okay,
like,
yeah,
is
the light
that
blue.
Like the brighter, almost like a neon blue?
Yep, yep. The other one's like a royal blue and it's like cool blue, I think it's called.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not as good. All right, and favorite video game?
My favorite video game. This is a really hard question. I'll go with Ghost of Tsushima right now because
excellent
it's
choice.
The one that I just played. But, ooh, maybe Fallout 4 would be close. Or also The Elder Scrolls, Skyrim.
Mm.
Any of those. Any long RPG is going to be something that I'll probably really enjoy.
That makes sense with your love of reading and tabletop RPGs and
yep
fantasy and
it's
all of that.
Totally on brand.
I am 100% with you right there. All right, out of the lightning round, our final question today. What is something that you wish you could tell somebody that is thinking about earning their MLIS or similar degree or is currently in grad school for libraries?
I would say it's important to know what you want to do, but also if my career has been any... indication, be open to other possibilities because you know, when I started library school, I remember being at orientation in 2009 and like phasing out of the public library. Like they went through this whole thing where they were talking about like giving you a taste of what each profession was. And I kind of like phased out of public libraries and school libraries. And that's where I've ended up working. And I have loved every minute of it. So like, it's important to have a goal of, you know, mine was to work in the Smithsonian or like a museum or something like that. And definitely focus on that, but also be open to other opportunities because you never know, like something that you think you're not going to like, you might end up loving.
Yeah.
Just don't discount any of the possibilities.
I love that. The degree is so flexible. There's so many options out there. And yeah, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Eric, for talking with me today. I had a great time getting to know you a little bit better, and I hope you listeners did as well. If you have any questions for me or Eric, you can always email adult@cormaine.org, and we will follow up with you. Have a great day.